The Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol will be in order.
The seventh day of the House January 6th committee hearings zeroed in on the sixth part of what it calls Donald Trump's seven-pronged plan to hold on to the presidency and stop the peaceful transfer of power after losing the election. In other words, Trump's call to arms for extremists to storm the Capitol while lawmakers were counting electoral votes. Democrat Brenny Thompson of Mississippi is chair of the committee.
The committee will explain how, as a part of his last-ditch effort to overturn the election and block the transfer of power, Donald Trump summoned a mob to Washington, D.C., and ultimately spurred that mob to wage a violent attack on our democracy.
Democratic Representative Jamie Raskin of Maryland took a leading role in Tuesday's hearing.
The problem of politicians whipping up mob violence to destroy fair elections is the oldest domestic enemy of constitutional democracy in America.
The hearing focused on the time between December 14, 2020, when the Electoral College elected Joe Biden president, and the eve of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. In particular, it looked at a now notorious White House meeting on December 18th.
4 days after the electors met across the country and made Joe Biden the president-elect, Donald Trump was still trying to find a way to hang on to the presidency. On Friday, December 18th, his team of outside advisors paid him a surprise visit in the White House that would quickly become the stuff of legend. The meeting has been called unhinged, not normal, and the craziest meeting of the Trump presidency.
That six-hour meeting included White House staffers who counseled caution and others like Trump campaign lawyers Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani, who blasted the White House lawyers for not supporting Trump enough. That's when they discussed a draft executive order to let the military seize voting machines. Then White House counsel Pat Cipollone told the committee what he thought of that idea.
To have the federal government seize voting machines, it's a terrible idea for the country. That's not how we do things in the United States. There's no legal authority to do that.
Trump's more fervent supporters had a different approach, as Giuliani described to the committee.
I'm going to categorically describe it as, you guys are not tough enough. Or maybe I put it another way, you're a bunch of pussies. Excuse the expression, but I'm almost certain the word was used.
After that meeting broke up, after midnight, Trump sent a now famous tweet inviting people to the January 6th rally, saying, big protest on January 6th, be there, it will be wild. It's a message that was quickly picked up by conservative media, as well as right-wing commentators like Matt Bracken.
We're going to only be saved by millions of Americans moving to Washington, occupying the entire area, if necessary, storming right into the Capitol. You know, there we know the rules of engagement. If you have enough people, you can push down any kind of a fence or a wall.
The committee interviewed a former member of the Twitter team responsible for content moderation. Under cover of anonymity, he said vague plans for January 6th grew more specific and detailed.
After this tweet on December 19th, again, it became clear not only were these individuals ready and willing, but the leader of their cause was asking them to join him in this cause and in fighting for this cause in D.C. on January 6th as well.
The Trump tweet and responses to it led to concerns about violence as groups drew together for the event, including groups like the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, who then worked with Trump allies like former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Darnell Harvin is the former chief of Homeland Security for the District of Columbia.
These non-aligned groups were aligning. And so all the red flags went up at that point. You know, when you have armed militia, collaborating with white supremacy groups, collaborating with conspiracy theory groups online, all toward the common goal, you start seeing what we call in terrorism a blended ideology, and that's a very, very bad sign.
The hearing included tidbits of information on a number of points. such as then White House counsel Pat Cipollone saying former Vice President Mike Pence should get a Presidential Medal of Freedom for certifying the electoral vote, an act that, in normal times, is considered a routine ministerial duty. The committee told a former Trump campaign manager, Brad Parscale, who criticized Trump rhetoric at the rally on the Ellipse. Democrat Stephanie Murphy of Florida read excerpts from texts Parscale sent to a former Trump campaign spokesperson.
Mr. Parscale said, quote, "This is about Trump pushing for uncertainty in our country, a sitting president asking for civil war." And then when he said, "This week I feel guilty for helping him win."
But the committee spent more time looking at radical groups like the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys, groups whose part in the January 6th attack included detailed planning and logistics, maps, and even weapons. Jason Van Tuttenhove is a former spokesperson for the Oath Keepers, who now calls them a violent militia.
I think we need to quit mincing words and just talk about truths. And what it was going to be was an armed revolution. I mean, people died that day. Law enforcement officers died this day. There was a gallows set up in front of the Capitol. This could have been the spark that started a new civil war.
The committee won't be charging anyone with a crime. That's the job of the Justice Department. But the committee is taking a hard look at Trump's role in the events, and they're not buying claims that Trump was just misled by outsiders or could not tell right from wrong, according to Republican co-chair Liz Cheney of Wyoming.
President Trump is a 76-year-old man. He is not an impressionable child. Just like everyone else in our country, he is responsible for his own actions and his own choices. As our investigation has shown, Donald Trump had access to more detailed and specific information showing that the election was not actually stolen than almost any other American. And he was told this over and over again. No rational or sane man in his position could disregard that information and reach the opposite conclusion.
Another tidbit in the hearing came at the end, this one about what looks to some like attempted witness tampering by Trump.
And one more item. After our last hearing, President Trump tried to call a witness in our investigation, a witness you have not yet seen in these hearings. That person declined to answer or respond to President Trump's call and instead alerted their lawyer to the call. Their lawyer alerted us, and this committee has supplied that information to the Department of Justice. Let me say one more time, we will take any effort to influence witness testimony very seriously.
The committee's next hearing will come next week when it looks at actions and inaction on the day of the insurrection itself. Reporting for Pacifica Radio News KPFA, I'm Christopher Martinez.